Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn Chulin Daf Ayin Aleph. We are holding on Daf Ayin and Be'ez. We are at Tanya Amar Rabbi Yonasan, about 8 lines from the end of the page. Today's year sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander and honor of his wife and children, Aliyah Nishmas's mother, called about Simcha Shalom, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So first, we're going to discuss what is the source in the Torah that a nevela of a kosher chaya, that a chaya that is kosher, that drops dead, that nevela, that carcass, is Tamei. The Gemara is then going to discuss how we know that a behema and a chaya are in the same category, and that the halacha, and exactly what halachas we learn from behema Torah to chaya Torah, behema tmeya to chaya tmeya, chaya Torah to behema Torah, chaya tmeya to behema tmeya, what we learn from those various equations. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to discuss the transmission of tumah from a dead human baby in utero. Up until now we've been discussing about animals. The Gemara is going to discuss how do we know that tumah balua is not metame, and how we know that Tara Balua doesn't become Tameh Balua, meaning that it's totally inside, totally enveloped inside of something larger. So if there's Tuma on the inside, it's not Metameh those things that are on the outside. If there's Tara on the inside and Tuma in the atmosphere outside, the Tohar thing does not become Tameh. How do we know all of those halachos? And that conversation pretty much takes us to the end of the daf. That's the primary discussion of today's daf. So let us begin. We are at Tanya on Daf Ayinam Beis. Tanya Am Rabbi Yonasan. I spoke to Benazai and I said to him, I know that if a kosher animal, a kosher behema drops dead, then its nevela is tameh, because after all, it's beferush in the Torah, in Parsha Shmini, it says, so it's very clear that that's tameh, and I also know very clearly in the Torah that a nevela of a non-kosher animal is also metameh, and also nevela of a non-kosher chaya is metameh, because the pasuk says earlier in Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, I think, O nefesh asher tiga b'chol dover tameh, O benivlas chaya tameya, O benivlas behema tameya. So it says explicitly a chaya tameya or behema tameya that drops dead, that its nevela is going to be metameh. But nivlas chaya tahora lo lamanu. Minayin, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that if a chaya tahora drops dead, that its nevela is metameh. Where do I know that from? So namli kol holi chal kapa. So he says, what do you mean? It's a pasuk. The pasuk says in Parsha Shmini, "Kol holichal kapa b'kol hachaya olechas al arba tmei meim lachem." The lashon of b'kol hachaya is coming to be marba both a chaya tmeya and a chaya tahora. That a kosher chaya is a dead body will also be metame. So namti lo. So I said back to Ben Azai, how can you derive all the different types of chayos from the word bakol? V'chinemar v'kol chaya? Does it say v'kol chaya? V'lelenemar ela b'kol hachaya, which sounds like something inside of something else. And that, therefore, is coming to teach me a totally different din. L'mahal chikapayim b'chaya u'dasa. That's coming to tell me that if you have an animal that doesn't have split hooves inside of a chaya, that dafka an uber that's dead inside of a chaya tameya is going to be tameh. And you can't learn from there that Nevelas chaya tahora is also metame. So namli. So Benazai said back to me, Umay Yishmael Omer B'davar Hazeh. Nu, do you have some sort of Kabbalah of what Rabbi Yishmael says about this? Does he have a makar for this din? So namti lo. I told him, Rabbi Yishmael always has an answer. He said that the pasuk in Parsha Shmini says v'chi yamus min ha-behema, and Chazal Darshin zo behema tameya. That phrase is a reference to a non-kosher animal. Asher hilachem liachla zo behema tahora. That next phrase refers to a kosher behema. And about both of them, the Torah says that if you touch its nevela, you become tameh. So lamadnu chaya b'chal behema. But we know from elsewhere that anytime you have a din about behema, chaya is included in that, and behema b'chal chaya. And anytime you have a din about a chaya, a behema is included in that. Chaya tahora b'chal behema tahora. Chaya tameya b'chal behema tameya. A chaya tahora is included in the general category of behema tahora. A chaya tameya is generally is included in the general category of a behema tmeya. Behema tmeya b'chal chaya tmeya. And a behema tmeya is generally in the general category of a chaya tmeya. And behema tora b'chal chaya tora. And a behema tora is in the general category of a chaya tahora. U'b'lashon hazeh amaliyah. When I told Ben Azai this, and that's the source for a chaya tahora's nevela being metame, he said to me, chaval al Ben Azai shaloshimesh es Rabbi Shmuel. Oy, woe unto Ben Azai. Too bad that Ben Azai was not meshamesh Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel is givaldik. He's got such great answers. So Ben Azai said that Mar Rabbi Shmuel, in the beginning of the conversation, Levari points out, he said, Ma Yishmael Omer B'davar Hazeh. He didn't even say Rabbi Yishmael. He says, what does Yishmael have to say about this? And now once he heard this, he said, ah, Rabbi Yishmael. Chaval that I wasn't Mishamish, Rabbi Yishmael. The Mishra Pirkei Avos in the sixth parak tells us that if you learn even Halacha Achas, you have to be Noe Kavod, like the person is your Rebbe. So that's what the Maritzchias and the Levari point out over here. So he started being Noe Kavod by calling him Rabbi Yishmael, because he now learned a halacha, not even directly from him, but through him he learned. The Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out in the Sichas Musar that when a person loses an opportunity to gain extra knowledge, he's not only losing that opportunity, but the entire world loses out when one does not gain Torah knowledge. Because Ben Azai is the one who said that Kol Chachmei Yisrael domina like Kiklipas Hashum, that all the other Chachmei Yisrael are like the peel of garlic in comparison to me, and including the old Chachmei Yisrael is Rabbi Yishmael. And nevertheless, he said Chaval that I wasn't able to be Mishamishim. What does Chaval mean? Rashi writes on Dafayin Beis that it's Hefsid Chavalahi Ba'olam, that it's a loss in the world, that there's something lost in the world when there's it's such an incredible Musar that Chaim Shlev is bringing out, that it's not just that I lost out on the opportunity to learn something by me not fulfilling my potential. There is a loss in the world by me not being able to learn everything that I could have learned. Okay, so now says Gemara, we just mentioned that a Chayat Torah is included in Behemah Torah, Behemah Torah is included in Chayat Torah, Chayat Torah is included in Behemah Torah, Behemah Torah is included in Chayat Torah. What are the various halachas from each of those four equations? So the Gemara enumerates them. Chayat B'chal Behemah Minalan. How do I know that whenever it says Chayat, it's included in Behemah? So Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says when it talks about the kosher animals, Zosa Behemah Shetochelu, Shor Se'aksavim, etc. And then it says Ayel, Utzvi, V'yachmur. So it starts giving a list of behemos, and then it just transitions right in the middle into chayos. So how could it be that it says Zos ha-behema asher tochelu, and then it's Ayel, Utzvi, V'yachmur, those aren't behemos, those are chayos. So you see, chayel, chabehema, so we see clearly a chaya is included in a behema. So says the Gemara, Behema b'chal chaya minalan. How do I know Behema is included in the general category of chaya? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says Zos hachaya asher tochlu mikol ha-behema asher al-aretz kol marfas as parsa. And haketzad, so how could it be that the Torah starts with Zos hachaya asher tochlu, and then it says mikol ha-behema? So you see, Behema b'chal chaya, chaya tohur b'chal behema Torah. What do I learn from the fact that chaya Torah is included in Behema Torah? L'simanim, that the simanim of a behema are the same simanei tara. You look for the same split hooves and chewing its cud by a chaya that you would by a behema. Now the Rashba points out that even though the Gemara only identifies one din that we learn from each of these equations, there could be many din. Meaning the whole point is that it's all considered the same basic category. Chaya tameya b'chal behema tameya laharba'a. And what do I learn from chaya tameya being included in behema tameya? The Isra of Harva'a, of a min b'sheino mino, of cross-mating animals, is said in the Lashon, behem tuchal lo tarbiya klayim, and nevertheless, it applies to chayos as well, that you're not allowed to cross-breed the animals. Behema tmeya b'chal chaya tmeya, and what do I learn from the fact that behema tmeya is included in the general category of a chaya tmeya? L'chid Rebbe, I learned the din that Rebbe taught, titanya, because we have a brisa that elaborates on the pasuk that says, O nefesh asher tika b'chal dover tamaya b'nevas chaya tmeya b'nevas behema tmeya, and doesn't say what Avera the person did if he became Tamei. Just because you become Tamei doesn't mean you did an Avera. There's no Avera to be Tamei. So Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says that we learn from this pasuk, Yakra ani chaya, since the Torah says a din that relates to a nevela of a chaya, and we know that a behema is included in the category of chaya, so behema lamenemra. Why does the Torah then have to also say behema? So nemrakan behema tmeya v'nemr la'alan, it says over here behema tmeya, and it says by a Tamei person that eats basar kachim, that he's chayiv kares, it says a lashon of behema tameya. Why? What does it say about a tamei person that eats kachim? It says v'nefesh kisiga b'chol tamei b'tumas adam o b'behema tameya o b'chol shaket tamei v'chol mibasar zevach hashlom mashal Hashem v'chusay nefshi me'ameo. That if you eat kachim after having contracted tumah, then you're going to be chayiv kares. So mala halon, just like over there, tumas kodesh, it's a reference to a tumah of eating kachim b'tumah, and you're chayiv kares. karis if you do so b'mezid. So afkan tumas kodesh. So two of you are talking about eating kodesh b'tumo, or going into the Beis HaMikdash when you are tame. That if you do it b'shogeg, you're going to be chayiv a karban. But without that klal, that a behema is included in the general category of chaya, then the pasuk would not have been extra to teach me this din of Rebbe. This pasuk is only extra, it's only redundant, because it doesn't need to say both behema and chaya, because I know that both behema and chaya are the same, that they're synonymous with one another. Now that I know that they're synonymous, it was redundant, and because of that redundancy, I'm able to make this limud about someone who b'shogeg is involved in kodesh, even though he's tummy, that he's chayv to bring a karban. Behema Torah b'chal chaya Torah liyitzira. And what do I learn from the fact that a behema Torah is included in the general category of a chaya Torah? That's as far as its creation. It uses a lashon of yitzira when it says kol chayas hasada in Parshas Bereishis. By behema never uses the term yitzira, but nevertheless behema is included in the category of chaya, so we view it as if it used the lashon of yitzira. So what? Why does it matter that it used the Lashon of Yetzirah? Why should that matter to me? To Tanan, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nida that Hamapeles min Behema, if a person miscarries something that looks like it has the form of a Behema, Chaya Va'of, Bein Tamei and Bein Tahorin, whether it looks like a kosher animal, it looks like a non-kosher animal, so im Zachar, if it looks like a male, Teshiv L'Zachar, so she has Yimei Tum and Yimei Tara, the same as for having a Zachar, so 7 days of Tumah, 33 days of Tara. Vim Nekeva, Teshiv Lenekeva. And if it looks like a female, 2 weeks of Tumah and 66 days of Tara. Einu Yadua, but if you can't tell if it's male or female, Teshiv Zachar Lenekeva. Then you go with the Chumras of both. You go with the first 14 days of Tumah and then the next 26 days only of Tahara. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir Shita V'Chum. Omrim Kol She'enu Mitzuras Adam, Einu Vlad. If it doesn't look like a human being, it looks like a behema, a chay or an oaf, then it is not a Vlad. She doesn't have Tumas Leda. So Reb Meir is based on the fact that when Reb Meir says that if it looks like an animal, there's Tumas Leda because the word Yetzira is used when it comes to a behema, the same way the word Yetzira is used when it comes to the creation of man. And therefore, once I know that the behema is Bichal Chaya, so it's as if the word Yetzira was used by behema as well, and therefore I know from there that there's Tumas Leda, even if that which she was Mapeles looks like a behema. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, Ulrabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili and say that an uber of a behema tamei that dies is not metami tumas nevela. High kra, this pasuk of O nefesh ashatika b'chol davar tamei b'nevas chaya tamei b'nevas behema tamei, which Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok used to darshan within Rabbi Yossi Aglili that an uber of a behema tamei is metamei lamali. So what did the Rabbanan do with that pasuk? They disagree with that basic din. So kulei luchud Rabbi Yehuda asa, the entire pasuk is there to teach me the Gzeirah Shava of Rebbe from the Lashon of Behema Tameya, just like we said before, that we use it for the Gzeirah Shava to tell me that we're talking about, that the issue in question that we're talking about when we talk about someone bringing a karban is someone who ate kodesh or was nichnas lemikdash while they were tameh. So that's why I need the whole thing. So it turns out that Rashi points out that chaya tameh is needed the gufo, that if you touch its nevela, you're tameh. Behema tameh is needed the gzeirah shava. And the fact that it says tameh legabe chaya, even though a nevela's chaya tahura is metameh, is agav the behema, that the Torah has to write temeya because of the gzeirah shava. So since there's one chiddush in the parsha, the Torah goes over the entire parsha because that's the rule. Kol parsha shenemar v'nishnas lo nishnas el b'shul dover shenas chadesh bo. Okay, now we move on to a new mishnah. So previously we've been talking about the tuma of an ubar in a behema when the ubar is dead. Now ha'isha shemeis v'lad b'toch me'ah rachman alitzlan, a human being, a woman, a Jewish woman, has a vlad that dies in inside of her womb, upashta chaya esyada v'nagabo, and the midwife sticks her hand in and touches the dead baby, hachaya tamei tumashiva. The midwife is tamei like she touched a dead body, and she's tamei for 7 days. V'yisha tahora, but the pregnant woman herself is not tamei at all, because this achi yitzei vlad until the vlad comes out, because she has not touched it. Aye, but it's in her body. That's what we call tuma balua. Tuma that's totally inside of something else is not going to have the capacity to be metamei. So says the Gemara, we see that if the midwife sticks her hand and touches the baby, the midwife is going to be tummy, but the woman who was carrying the pregnancy is not going to become tummy because it's tumah balua. So says Gemara, Amar Rabba, kashem she tumah balua ina matama. Just like we see in our Mishnah that tumah balua does not transmit tumah, kach tara balua ina matama. So too, tara balua, if you have something tahar that's absorbed inside of another guf and there's tumah on the outside of that guf, the tumah does not transmit to that which is on the inside. So tumah balua minala, and how do I know that tumah balua is not metame other things? Because the pasuk says by nevelas of tahar va ochel min nevelasa yichabes begadav, that if a person eats from the nevela of an of tahar, he's going to need kibus begadav, and then he goes to the mikvah and he needs harav shemesh. So milo askinam da achal samuch shkias achama. Aren't we talking about a case even if you just ate this nevelas of tahar right before shkia, and therefore the food isn't even digested yet, it's still inside of his body? And we say, okay, but you went to the mikvah and you had harav shemesh, so now you're tahar. What do you mean? I just ate it a half hour ago. It's probably still edible. So how come it's not metame me right now? It's still not even digested. Elamai, because it's tuma balua, because it's totally inside of my body, and anything that's totally inside of another body is not going to be able to be metame. So says Mar Vidilma Shiny Asum Delo Chazi Lager. Maybe that's different because the reason it's tahar is that once I swallow it, no human being would eat it because it's gross. So nevela is only metame when it's roi la'achilas ger. But if it's not roi la'achilas ger means it's roi for consumption by a human being. So that you can't derive from here that tumah blue is not metame. Maybe it's not tumah anymore. It's not because it's not ochel. Only an ochel is metame. Nevela sof tahar, that's an ochel is metame. How do I know that which is not roi la'achilas ger is not called a nevela? Because the pasuk says the sochel called nevela. Rather, what should you do with it? La'ger asher b'sharecha titnena, that you should give it instead to a ger toshav. And Chazal darshan in Bechoros daf chav gimel that nevela roi la'ger is nikris nevela, and shein roi la'ger is not called a nevela. So it's not roi la'achilas adam. It's therefore not metame b'maga b'masa. It's not metame adam u'kelim. It's only a rishon l'tumah, and a rishon l'tumah can only be metame ochlin mashkin. But it's not going to passle the person. So this isn't a good raya that tuma balua is not metame. Over here we're talking about something that's totally inedible. If it's totally inedible, of course it's not metame. Says Gemara, hanichal Rabbi Yochanan damar achazo v'achazo ad lekelev shapir. Well, it would be a good source if you hold that nevela she'en ru'i leger is still called a nevela, that it only loses its status of nevela when it's en ru'i lekelev. If you hold that both tuma chamura and tuma kala of ochlim mashkim, that it loses its tuma status only when it dips below the threshold of being roi l'achilas kelev, like chametz bepesach needs to be, that it dips below the threshold of achilas kelev. So then I understand very well that an hour after I ate it, it's probably still roi l'achilas kelev. So why isn't it metame me? Must be because of tuma balua. El barpada, but according to barpada, da amar tuma chamura leger v'tuma kala ad lekelev. So Mishum Delo Chazi Legeru. But our kasha still stands if you're going to say that when it comes to a Tumah Chamura, it needs to be just a Neroi Lachilas Adam to lose the status of Nevela. So it's not going to be Metame me when I ate it an hour ago because a human being wouldn't eat it, not because of Tumah Balua. So then what is the source of Tumah Balua not being Metame? So says Gemara, you're sure that a human being wouldn't eat it? No one would eat it if I vomited it up right in front of him. But let's say you never told him. I ate it, and then shkia and seisa kochavim came. So a half hour after I ate it, I vomited up, and then you serve it as in a dish to somebody else, and you don't tell him. So it might still be delicious enough for him to eat. It might still be ra'ui. So the Torah says that a nevela is ra'ui leger is able to be metame. So how come it's not metame me when it's in my system and it's still ra'ui leger? Must be because of tuma balua. So this is an interesting idea that you could vomit it up, and granted, no one would eat it if eat it if they saw me vomit it up, but they would still eat it if they didn't see me vomit it up. So there's a question, are you allowed to do that? Meaning that you're going to feed this to somebody and let them eat it when you know that if they knew the history, if they knew where this thing has been, they would never touch it. So in the Das Kedoshim, he says you're allowed to feed someone something that's disgusting if he doesn't know that it's disgusting. Because the Isser of Bal Teshaktu is only if the person knows that it's disgusting. So he knows that it's supposed to be disgusting. So you want to stick some dog food into your friend's salad or something. So that's fine, as long as he doesn't know that it's dog food. What? But that's what Das Kedoshim says, that that's not called Bal Teshaktu, because from his perspective, it's not disgusting. The Rav Meir Arik in the Imre Yosher brings a raya. He says, Gemara Ksuba says that Abaye holds that a Zaru eats Truma, according to Rav Nechunya Ben Akana, does not have to pay the Kohen for the value of the Truma, because he's Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim. And Kamle B'drabim, they would tell me, you only get the more Chomer of the two Onshim, and Misa B'dei Shemayim is more Chomer than Mammon, so you're going to be Potter from the Mammon. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Chi of Mammon and the Chi of Misa B'dei Shemayim don't come B'bas Achas. As soon as you pick up the Truma, you're Chayv to pay, because you're stealing it. The Misa, you're only Chayv when you swallow the Truma. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case where someone stuffed the Truma right directly into my Beis Ablia, directly down my throat. So and I can only vomit it up and spit it out with great exertion. So and even if I do, it's not going to be worth a pruta, because the truma is already gross now that it's in my throat, and the kohen is not able to eat it because it's disgusting. So if I eat it, I have to pay only for the hana'ah that I had at the time that I ate the truma, and at that time I was chaya. At that very moment, I was chayav misa b'dei shemayim. But the other guy who stuffed the truma is not going to be chayav to pay, because it's still be'en, and you could still spit it out. So Tosaf there asks, Tosaf Ksubas asks, why if I spit out the truma, is it not worth anything? Granted, it became gross while it was in my throat, but it's still ra'i l'achila to a kohen who didn't see that I had swallowed it. And he brings a raya from our Gemara that a person who swallows something, that's it's still ra'i l'achila as long as the guy that you're giving it to doesn't know that that you swallowed it. So right, that's our Gemara. So says the Imre Yosher, it must be that if you're going to say that there's an issur of Bal Teshaktu on that which is disgusting, even if you don't know that it's disgusting, then Tosos should have given that answer. That in our sugya, we're talking about a goy, we're talking about a ger toshav, and he doesn't have an issur of Bal Teshaktu. So you can give him that nevela, because he doesn't know that you had swallowed it, and without him knowing that you swallowed it, the only issur in question would be Bal Teshaktu, but he's a goy, so he doesn't have such a problem. But in Ksubas, we're talking about a kohen. A kohen is a Jew, and therefore it is Bal Teshaktu. How come Tosos didn't make that chiluk? Oh, must be. He tells us didn't make that chiluk because no such chiluk exists. That there's no Bal Teshaktu for anybody who doesn't know the history of that item. Rav Moshe also in Yeridei Chiluk Aleph Sim Lamed Aleph says very similarly la halacha that the isra of Bal Teshaktu is only when the person who's eating it knows that it's disgusting. But if he doesn't know that it's disgusting, he's not in violation of any isser, and therefore you're allowed to feed it to him because he doesn't know and he's not going to know that it's disgusting. A tremendous chiddush in the dinim of Bal Teshaktu. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara, Ashkechan Tumah Balua, Tara Balua Minolin. So far, all we've proven is that if Tuma is Balua, it doesn't have the capacity to be Metame. How do I know that if Tahara is Balua, it won't become Tame? So Kal V'chomer, we make a Kal V'chomer from a Klicheres. Uma Klicheres, a Mukav Tzam Psil. If a Klicheres, which is totally sealed, She'enu Matzal Tumah Shebetach Miletame, is not going to protect the Tumah inside of it from being Metame the Kli, from becoming tameh, sada amar mar tuma ritzutza, because we say that when there's not an ohel over the tuma, even if it's in the ground or in a kli, it's bokas ve'olad the rakia. It shoots right through. The tumah shoots right through. And nevertheless, even though we're so machmir about a klicheres that's totally sealed, but still matzil al tara shebetochom, it protects the tara that's inside of it. So if you have tumah inside that kli, it will shoot right through and be metame outside. But the tahara inside of it, if there's tumah letame, if there's tumah in the room, it will protect the tahara that's inside of it. So adam shematzil al tumah shebetochom letame, a person who has this kula, that will protect the tumma inside of him from being metame his guf. So enodin shematzel atara shematoch miletame. All the more so should be matzel on the tara that's inside of him, that it should not be metame. So therefore, you see that there is this concept that tahara blua does not become tame. So Tosfos Rashi has a very sharp question. He says it's not a kavu chomer. The fact that tumma blua and necheres is metame is not a chumra, because and the fact that a person is matzil al tumma blua is not a kula. It's because there's another klal in tumma and tara, and that is that anything that's mekabel tumma is not chotzitz b'fnei tumma. Cheres is mekabel tumma, so mele it's not going to be chotzitz b'fnei tumma. It's not going to prevent the transmission of tumma. Adam, who's not mekabel tumma from the inside, is going to be matzil mitumma. So it's not a kavu chomer. It's just based on a separate din. So says the Tosfos Rashi, no, there's a case where a kli cheres, even if it cannot become tameh, will still not be matzil b'fnei atumah. If you have two barrels in the house that are mukav tzamid pasil, and each one has only a chatzi zayis min ames, so those barrels are tahoros, and the bayis is nevertheless going to be tameh. The barrels themselves are tara because each barrel is less than a kazayas. The bias is tameh because it has a kazayas of a mace in the bias. So you see, the fact that the cheres is not matzil from the tumah that's inside of it is not because of whether or not the cheres is tameh. It's because of a chumra, the kli cheres itself, and therefore the kal v'chomer stands. So it asks the Gemara, no, this is not a good kal v'chomer. How do you know that the din of an adam is more kal than the din of a kli cheres? Mal kli cheres shekein ein mitameh mi. A kli cheres cannot become tamei from the outside. Tomer badam shem tamei migabo. A person can become tamei from the outside. So says Mar Atuanan migabo kamrina. Are we learning the kal v'chomer having anything to do with what becomes tamei on the outside? No, we're talking about on the inside. Mitochu kamrinan. So adraba kli cheres chamur. So adraba, the inside of a kli cheres is more chamur. Shekin mitamei me'aviro. So that would be the way to shlug up the kal v'chomer. It's mitamei something that's in its airspace, even though it doesn't even touch the kli, and nevertheless the Torah still makel and says that tara blua is not mekabel tuma. So an adam, which is more kal, that doesn't have this din of tumas avir, meaning this, we're reinvigorating the kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer is even stronger than you think it is, because a kli cheres, granted it cannot be mekabel tuma from migabo, but when you look at the perspective of the inside of the kli cheres, it's super able to be mekabel tuma, because it's even mekabel tuma me aviro. So kal v'chomer, a person that's not able to be makabel tameh, tumah me aviro. So ashkan belua de lemaila, belua de lemata min alan, says Gemara, okay, fine, you have showed me that there is a makar, that a person who swallows tumah in his mouth, and it's now in his stomach, that person prevents that tumah from being metameh anything. Because it said, so that's talking about a person who ate a nevela of tahar. But what if they stuck a piece of nevela inside a person through the reverse side, through his anus, and that's where it got into his stomach? They did a colonoscopy and stuck a piece of nevela on one end of it. So how do I know that in that case it's tumah belua? So how do I know that it's not metame, the person who's walking around carrying it with tumas masa? So says Gemara, kal v'chomer umal mala she'ino ose equal matzil lamata she'ose equal le'ino din she'matzil. If through the mouth, where it has a churma, that the mouth does not create any digestion, any serious digestion, granted your teeth and your saliva begins the digestion process, but not in a serious way, nevertheless it's matil from being metame, a person balua. So that which is balua, that's the lamata, that's ose equal, where really lamata, that's where the real digestion happens. So eno din shematzil, all the more so it's going to be matzil. So that's a kal v'chomer. So says mar klumos equal lamata alalide maila. No, it only digests if it goes through the digestive tract. So adraba, your mouth is really what's causing the digestion, and it should be more kal than that which is lamata. So says mar filuachi equal to lamata rav. Nevertheless, the equal that happens down below is much more powerful than the equal that happens in your mouth, and therefore, even if it went in through the base array, it has a din of balua. Okay, weiter now. Says Gemara, Ashkechon balua da adam, balua da behema min alan. So now you have proven to me that tuma balua inside of a human being does not have the capacity to be metame. How do I know tuma balua inside of a behema does not have the capacity to be metame? So kal v'chomer, we make a kal v'chomer. adam shemitamei mechayim, a person can become tamei while he's alive. And nevertheless, matzil babalua, even though a person can become tamei while he's alive, we're still going to have this kula that he protects that which is balua from being mitamei other things. A behema sheina mitamei mechayim, a behema that's alive can never be mitamei, can never become tamei. Einodin shetatzil babalua, all the more so it should be matzil babalua. Right? The only time a behema is tamei is when it's dead. Then it becomes a nevela, it can have tumas ochlin, but when it's alive, there's no such thing as a behema being tamei. So if a behema cannot even become tamei while it's alive, all the more so it has the capacity to protect the tumah that's inside of it from spreading. So asks the Gemara, b'mala adam shekin sarich shihia, but a person has another kula that b'bayis hamenuga, that he, in order for him to be tamei, when he goes into a house that has tzara'as, in order for him to become tamei enough that his begadim that he's wearing become tamei, he needs to wait in the house that has tzara'as for some period of time. And if he's there for less than that amount of time, then the begadim that he's wearing do not become tamei. So maybe that's why the Torah is mekil, that he's matzil babalua, because we have that kula that a person who walks into a bayis hamenuga does not immediately become tamei. Tomer bebehema shein etzricha shiyah bebayis hamenuga, but a behema is more susceptible to tuma, because as soon as it walks into a house that has tzara'as, whatever kalim it's wearing is going to become tamei. Again, the behema itself will never become tamei while it's alive, but the kalim that it's wearing will become tamei. So don't you see that's a chumra that you have by a behema, and therefore it could be that that a behema is more chumra than adam. So while adam is able to be matzil on the tumah balua, a behema maybe can't. So says Gemara, behema din etzricha shiyah by zamnuga lamai hilchasa. What din are we saying that a behema in a house that has tzara us does not need shihiyah, that will be metame immediately? The kelim shal gaba, we're talking about kelim that the behema is carrying, because behemas don't wear clothing, right? Meaning, so obviously it's it wouldn't even be considered clothing, you know, just because people dress up their dogs or whatever in little raincoats or sweaters or whatever, that's not normal. Behemas don't wear clothing, so even if a behemah is wearing clothing, it's considered to be something that he's carrying. It's not considered clothing. So if you were to parallel that to a human being who walks into a bayis hamenuga not wearing clothing, carrying clothing, does he need shihiyah? Does he need to wait in the bayis hamenuga in order to become tamei? So adam nami lo bay, a person who's carrying clothing, it doesn't have a minimum time that he has to wait in the bayis hamenuga in order to be mitamei those clothing. It's a mishnah maseches negoyim hanichlas a bayis hamenuga. If a person goes into a house that has saras v'kelev al ksefav, and he has clothing on his shoulders, meaning he's not wearing it, v'sandala v'tabosav biyadav, he's carrying his shoes or his rings, not wearing them, huvein tamei and miyad. There's no minimum waiting period. The second he walks into the bayis hamenuga, he and they become tamei. Hayolavush kelev v'sandalav, hayolavush kelev v'sandalav beraglav v'tabosav betzbao. But if he's wearing all these things, his rings are on his fingers, his shoes are on his feet, his clothing is on his body, hu tamei miyad, he becomes tamei right away. V'hein tor not sheyishem b'kdeich is pras paschitim lo pasorim mesavochel b'liftan. But the clothing that he's wearing has a period of time that it needs to, that he needs to stay in the house before it becomes tamei, and that period of time is the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of wheat bread, not barley bread, while reclining and eating with a little shmir on the bread. So if you wait that amount of time, then the kelim become tamei. So it turns out that even a person who's carrying clothing, the clothing becomes tamei right away, the same as a behema. So there's no chumrah that a behema has over an adam. So and yet we find that that a adam has a chumrah over a behema, in that an adam can become tamei mechayim and a behema cannot become adam tamei mechayim. So therefore we have a kal v'chomer that if an adam is able to be matzil on the tumah balua inside of him, and an adam is so chamor that he's even able to be tamei mechayim, so behema, which is not able to be tamei mechayim, should all the more so be matzil on the balua that's inside of him. Now, when we talk about this shear of time of eating a chatzi kikar, a pras of wheat bread, not barley bread, while you're mesav and eating beliftan. So Rashi writes in Maseches Erevin, we're talking about something that's eaten quickly, that sa'orim is not really so delicious, so people don't eat it quickly. And normally when you have something with a little flavor, a little liftan on it, you'll eat it more quickly. And when you're mesav, so you're in an eating setting, so you'll eat it more quickly, so it'll go down more quickly. So it's a way of minimizing the shear. However, the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva Maseches Sukkah writes, no. This is a kula. This is maximizing the shear. Paschitin takes longer to eat because you enjoy it. So when you have to eat something you don't like, you just stuff it down because you're just trying to get food in your stomach. When you're enjoying the food, you savor the food. It's derech tainuk. When you're mesav, you're relaxing and eating the food. You have a little shmir. You take it easy. So it's really a kula that you have a longer amount of time until the clothing that you're wearing is going to become tamei. There is a discussion, I should have mentioned, when we talk about Tumah B'lua and Tara B'lua, there is a discussion, the Shach writes in Yaradeya, in Simen Shinayin Aleph, in the name of the Rokeach, that if a Kohen's wife is pregnant, she's allowed to go into an Oel HaMeis. Why is she allowed to go into an Oel HaMeis? The baby might be a boy, and he's going to become Tameh from the Oel HaMeis. He says because of a Svek Sveika. Maybe the baby's a girl, and even if the baby's a boy, maybe it's a Nefel. Maybe he's not going to survive. So based on that Svek Sveika, you can go into the Oel HaMeis. So the Magen Avraham in Simen Shin Mem Gimel says, why do you need a Svek Sveika? This is what we call Tahara Balua, that it's totally inside of another body, and if it's inside of another body, it can't become Tameh anyway. So there are all sorts of answers offered by the Achronim. Rav Elchanan though, in Kovetz Shurim, gives the answer that Rav Shachter likes the best, where he says that according to those opinions, that a Kohen is not allowed to go into a house where a Goses is, even though a Goses is not Matameh until he dies, he's still alive, and nevertheless a Kohen is not allowed to go into a place where there's a Goses. So you see that a Kohen is not allowed to be in an Oel HaMeis, even in a case where he's not becoming Tameh, meaning, the way Rav Shachter likes to formulate it, that there's not just an Isser for a Kohen, the Isser is not Tumas Meis, the Isser is his Skarvus Lemisa, that if he's coming close to that which represents death, so Goses is very close to death. So it's an issue of his scarfus, and therefore will come out to be both a kula and a chumra, that if you're not becoming tameh, but there's a sense of his scarfus lemisa, it's going to be a problem. So that's the pshat of the rokeach. The rokeach is saying, granted, there's no tumah on the fetus when he's in the oel hameis, because it's balua, but there's his scarfus, and his scarfus creates the problem. It would also be a kula, Rav Shachter writes in Big Fayatzon, that if a kohen goes on an airplane, and a few thousand feet in the air, the plane flies over a cemetery, there's no hiskarvus whatsoever. Tumah, yes, because the tumah is bokas viola, shoots straight up, and will penetrate the plane, and will be matami the person, but there's no hiskarvus, and there's no hiskarvus, so maybe that's why a kohen is allowed to go on an airplane, even though the flight path may go over a cemetery, a Jewish cemetery at some point. Now, there is a discussion in the Achronim, very contemporary Achronim, whether there's any basis for the practice that a pregnant woman doesn't go to a cemetery. Does that come from anywhere? So in the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak Chel Gyutzim in Membeis, he says, obviously there's no makar, we don't know of any early makar, but everyone knows what the Tshuvas HaRashba says, that when there's a Baba Maisa, don't make fun of it, the Babis know what they're talking about, and if they have a tradition, we need to not make fun of it. Whether the Tshuvas HaRashba actually says that or not, or what exactly he means by that is a discussion for a different time, but that's what the Achronim like to quote. So anyway, the closest they come to having an explanation for this practice of a pregnant woman not going into a cemetery is either a psychological thing that we're afraid she's going to be so distraught that it would have a negative effect on the pregnancy, or that it's based on this din of that Atu Inesius Kohen, where if she's aware that the baby is a boy, that it could cause a tumor problem, so because you don't have that Svek Sveka. So then we don't allow any pregnant woman to go into a cemetery. Chumra al gabi chumra al gabi chumra. Okay, so says the Gemara Vaitu now. Amar Rava, Travayu Tanini. Both dinim, the Rabbi said, are already mishnayas, meaning the din of Tumah B'lua and the din of Tara B'lua. I didn't need Rabbi to tell me either of these dinim. They're both beferish and mishnayas. Tumah B'lua de Tanina, Tara B'lua Tanina. Tumah B'lua de Tanan. Where's there a Mishnah that tells me about Tumah B'lua? It's a Mishnah Mikvaos that Bala Taba'as Tameya, that if a person swallows a tamei ring, a metal ring, and the rule is cherev hareu kechalal. If that metal ring touched a dead body, it's an avi avos hatuma. So tovel deachol b'truma. So that person can go to the mikvah and eat truma. Hikia, if he vomits it up, tamea, it's tamei v'timato, and it will be metame him on its way out. So apparently, at the time that it's still inside his stomach, it's not metame the person because it's tuma balua and tara balua tanina. And we also have a mishnah that says beferish about tara balua ditnan, because the mishnah over there says bala tabas tahora. If a person swallows a tahor ring, v'nichmas olameis, then he goes into a room with a dead body. He's of a shan of a taval, and then he goes through the whole Torah process of hazaz shlishi shvi and the whole thing vikia, and then he spits out that ring. Hare kemasha haisa, the ring is not tame because it never became tame in the olam eis. It was balua. So you see that tahara balua is a thing as well that we see from the mishnah already that tahara balua exists. Rashi points out maybe the ring became tame and it went through the same Torah process with the person while it was inside the person. So the Sirashi says that's not true, that doesn't work. The Tara process on the person would not have impacted the ring. But okay, so we see that both of them are Mishnayos already, and therefore we're leaving off the Gemara with a question. Why does Rabbi need to tell me the din of Tumah Balua? Why does he need to tell me the din of Tara Balua? Both of them are already explicit Mishnayos. So answers the Gemara, Ki kama Rabbi kigon shabala shtei tabos achs mevachs Torah, te lo matamya la tamea le tahura. That the chiddush of Rabbu was that even if you'd swallow two rings, one tame, one tahar, they have no impact on one another because they're all bibalua. That we didn't get from the Mishnayos, that when they're both inside the stomach, that they don't impact each other when they touch each other. That you only get from Rabbah. Okay, well, tomorrow, I'm not going to say Shia tomorrow, so you're on your own tomorrow. Bez Hashem, you're on your own the next day as well. Sunday, probably same time, back in camp. Okay, have a wonderful evening, a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you all for joining.